God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text is coming from our Old Testament reading from Ezekiel chapter 33, 7 to 20. But before I get to our text, let me begin with something I did when I was a little boy. I remember gathering at a friend's house, and we were having pizza for the evening dinner, and it came time for the end of the pizza, and there were two pieces left, but there were three of us around the table. Well, quickly do the math. Not everyone could have a full piece, so there was going to come the time for the dividing of what was left because we all wanted to have more pizza. And in the back of my mind, I had a thought that it should be divided a certain way. And I was dismayed because it was divided a different way. And I remember my reaction as a little boy. I said, you know, this is a little unfair. And everyone looked at me, and the response was, why? You're getting the pizza. You're still getting the same amount, but it was cut differently. I will admit, as a little boy, I had a lot of learning to do, but that's probably true for most of us. Well, as Christians, we still have a little bit of learning. You see, our sinful nature within us is strong. When things don't go our way, we almost revert back to that little boyish type attitude. Things are unfair. How many times have we ever said this to God? God, you're being completely unfair with me. Why? But yet, as we're in this season of Lent, we have to remember how we began this season of Lent with Ash Wednesday. In our Ash Wednesday worship service, we had the imposition of ashes. Remember the words that were said, from dust you are to dust you shall return, as those ashes were placed upon you. If you want true fairness from God, true fairness because of our sins, we deserve nothing but death, then we have to go back to those ashes. You see, every breath we take is a gift from God. Every moment, every day, every meal, every article of clothing, every time we go back home, into the car, to work, every single aspect of our life is a gift from God. A gift that we don't deserve. If you want true fairness, true justice from God, be careful what you ask for. You have to go back to that Ash Wednesday worship service and remember, from dust you are, to dust you shall return. That is what we deserve. If we want true fairness from God. Today's message is entitled, as you can probably figure, Unfair. Because that's usually the response of our sinful human nature. Unfair to God's gracious action. And in our Old Testament lesson for today, we get a little bit of that. But as I begin our text, it begins, first of all, with the prophet. God is speaking to Ezekiel, and let me just sort of summarize this, and he basically says to Ezekiel, you are the man who is responsible. You are responsible to proclaim God's word. Don't deviate from that word. If the hearer, you guys, don't listen to that word, and they go to hell for it, and you proclaimed it, then they still go to hell, but I won't hold you responsible for it. But if you fail to proclaim that word and they go to hell, then I'm also going to hold you responsible for that. So bottom line to this, to Ezekiel the prophet, you better proclaim God's word. How does this fit in with the concept of being a little unfair? Well, I will admit, as a parish pastor, I can somewhat relate to Ezekiel. I also have the same command being placed upon me. It is my job to proclaim God's word, to administer his sacraments. How can this be a little unfair? Well, let me use an interesting illustration here. One of our members sort of directed me to take a particular note of one of the churches in the area here. It wasn't a Lutheran church. It's one of these nice younger type churches that's big and growing, and they're doing things a little bit differently, and there's nothing wrong with that. And they also do something that Trinity does, and that is they have the sermons online that you can download. So I figured, hey, let's just hear what this other pastor is doing. So I downloaded one of the sermons. And, oh yeah, it was a good learning experience. Here was a pastor who, his words were smooth. You knew that they were well practiced, well thought out, very carefully crafted. It was almost in awe listening to this. I was almost a little bit of jealous here. And I got to the end of the message, and then the reality really set in. You see, the pastor didn't talk at all about Christ and Him crucified. He talked about how what you can do for God and how you should be doing this in your life and doing that in your life, but didn't actually talk about, you know, the concept of sin. Getting back to our unfair piece, especially with the prophet Ezekiel, in one essence, this was an unfair demand about what God put upon Ezekiel. Because do people really want to hear about their sin? Do they really want to hear about their sinful nature? Do they really want to hear about how they screwed up and how God loves them and forgives them? This pastor in this other church, his message didn't convey anything like that. Because he knew something about his people. If he wants to attract large crowds, he's got to appeal to what the people perceive as their needs. Not what God's word has to communicate to them so much, but what do the people want? Notice, who is he crafting his message to? He knew his audience. He knew where his money comes from, so to speak, from the people. So let's give them what they want to hear. Then you'll get more people, bigger church, better facilities. It works out well. Except for I have to go back to today's Old Testament reading and say, wait a minute. What did God instruct Ezekiel to do? To proclaim his word. Whether the people want to hear it or not, Ezekiel has to proclaim God's word. You can almost see Ezekiel saying, God, this is a little unfair. They don't want to hear it. God didn't ask whether the people wanted to hear it. He told Ezekiel, this is what you will do. And this is one of the reasons why we ordain pastors. And when we ordain pastors, we make them have a vow. A vow that's going to make them stick to God's word and the Lutheran confessions. A vow that basically says, you will teach, you will proclaim, you will administer the sacraments, whether you like it or not, and don't think of it as unfair. This is God's gift to the people. To kind of illustrate this unfairness from the people's perspective here, of what kind of message you want to hear versus what kind of message that God wants to deliver to you, I'm going to read from a book written by Eugene Peterson, and he's a Presbyterian pastor, entitled Working the Angles. And in this book, he has a paragraph here that sort of sets the stage as people about ready to, and he uses the word ordain, but or install their pastor, and the vows that the pastor has to make. And he has a very interesting way of presenting it in connection with our text. So let me just read to you from this book. One more thing. We are going to ordain you to this ministry, and we want your vow that you will stick to it. This is not a temporary job assignment, but a way of life that we need lived out in our community. We know that you are launched on the same difficult belief venture in the same dangerous world as we are. We know your emotions are as fickle as ours, and that your mind can play the same trick on you as ours. That is why we are going to ordain you, and why we are going to extract a vow from you. We know that there are going to be days and months, maybe even years, when we won't feel like believing anything and won't want to hear it from you. And we know that there will be days and weeks and maybe even years when you won't feel like saying it. It doesn't matter. Do it. You are ordained to this ministry, vowed to it. There may be times when we come to you as a committee or delegation and demand that you tell us something else than what we are telling you now. Promise right now that you won't give in to what we demand of you. You are not the minister of our changing desire, or our time-conditioned understanding of our needs, or our secularized hopes for something better. With these vows of ordination, we are lashing you to the mast of word and sacrament. so that you will be unable to respond to the siren voices. There are a lot of other things to be done in this wretched world, and we are going to be doing at least some of them. But if we don't know the basic terms with which we are working, the foundational realities with which we are dealing, God, kingdom, gospel, we are going to end up living futile fantasy lives. Your task is to keep telling the basic story, representing the presence of the Spirit, insisting on the priority of God, speaking the biblical words of command and promise and invitation. Peterson's words fits very well with our text. Sometimes the people may be saying this is a little unfair because God's word is very pointed at our sins. But we have to ask ourselves, why did you gather here today? Why did you come into this building to pat yourself on the back to say, you've been doing a good job this last week? Or did you come because you know the church is full of sinners? Sinners who need to hear the forgiving word of God, to receive God's grace and mercy and love, to come to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper where God gives of Himself the body and blood of Christ with that bread and wine for the strengthening of our faith and the forgiveness of our sins. You see, why is the church here? It's for sinners, as a way of conveying God's grace to them. But if we can't get past the concept that we are sinners in need of God's grace, then we'll look to the church that encourages, a church that motivates, a church that tells us different stories. But God's word encourages and motivates not with different stories, with humorous sayings, but with His word of life. And His word of life, as our text says, that God does not delight in sending the wicked to hell, but wanting the wicked to turn from their ways, to believe and trust that there is a Savior, that Savior is Jesus Christ who dies on the cross, who atones for the sin of the whole world, that as sinners we come to a loving, gracious God, not because of anything we have done, but what Christ has done upon that cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Yes, God does not delight in the death of the wicked. And that's why He sends pastors to teach God's word of reconciliation, God's word of love and forgiveness. Yes, God does want a change within us. But that's after He has effected that change within us. That after He has forgiven our sins. We do repent. We do change our ways, as later on in our text Ezekiel is to tell the people of Israel. So what would their response be? That this is good and fantastic news? That people would just be flocking to hear this? The answer is no. Our world flocks to things that pat themselves on the back, not to things that necessarily says, oh, by the way, you're a sinner. God has died for the forgiveness of your sin. In one essence, you may think that the role of pastor has a very challenging task, and it is. Except for, I will admit, I'm not at the point of saying this is a little unfair of God's expectation. No, this is what God expects. Because I also say that in one essence, even though the people don't always want to hear this message of their sins, but I still have the best message in the whole world to proclaim. I still like to say I have the best job in the whole world. Because I get to tell a bunch of sinners that you are forgiven through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is forgiveness. And that is great and fantastic news. If we can get past the concept that we are sinners and need this forgiveness of sins, then I have fantastic, wonderful news. No, I don't necessarily go to God and say, which the task that you have given to me is unfair. It is challenging. But I do know one thing. We have a loving, gracious God who, in the midst of the most challenging things in your life and in my life, continues to give us grace. We have a loving, caring God who says, I will be with you during those challenging times. I'm not going to leave you alone or abandon you. I will empower you. I will give you that grace. I will give you that faith. I will encourage you with God's Word so that you can overcome these challenges. That's why it's easy for me as a parish pastor to just stick with the text. Proclaim God's Word. You may think that it's a little unfair, a little pointed. Us Lutherans talk a little bit about sin too much. But in talking about sin, we also talk about the gospel. And besides, do you really want the fairness of God? Remember that Ash Wednesday? From dust you are, to dust you shall return. No, I really don't want the fairness of God. I really do want God to be unfair. Unfair in showering upon His mercy, which I don't deserve. Unfair with giving me good and wonderful gifts. Unfair by always being there, even though I turn my back upon God. Yes, it's a little unfair, and for this, I am thankful. So whenever my sinful nature comes up, or yours comes up, and we start getting angry with God, we have to ask ourselves, what do we really want? Do we want God's justice? Or do we want God's mercy? In order to realize and appreciate God's mercy, we have to realize and begin with ourselves, our own sinfulness, the hardness of our own hearts, and God calling us, empowering us, giving us that faith to turn from our sinful ways, to embrace His love, so that love and forgiveness comes to us, and so that we in turn can shower that love and forgiveness to those around us. So this day we give great praise and thanks to God for His unfairness, and still bestowing many riches and graces upon each and every one of us. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.